When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, today on Lulz, we have special guest Shady Advice, DFS Crusher, legendary upside contributor, and we have lots to discuss today. There was a crazy story in the world of sports betting involving Spanky and DraftKings and bearding. We'll get into that. Also need to talk about Legendary Upside's new tool, which is making some waves across the best ball space, and Shady has been involved with that. And also, I just learned in the DMs that Shady went on one of the infamous DraftKings truffle hunting trips. How I just found out about this, I do not know. So we'll get to the bottom of that as well. This is Lulz with Pete and Brick. He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us. All right. Good afternoon to everyone. Shady, I know I've done Best Ball After Dark, DFS After Dark with you. Is this your first time on Lulz?
Yeah, long time watcher, first time contributor, I suppose.
Nice.
Happy to be here.
Excited to have you on. Yes, you are generally a regular in the chat. Brian, how are we doing today? How's the in-game syndicate rolling these days?
Good. Can't complain. Shady's in there helping out. Appreciate Shady being in there. It's beautiful weather, Pete. I can't complain. Loving life. DFS is hard. Other than that, what can I complain about?
There you go. Shady, you had to get time off for this appearance. That's how special we are.
It's true. Yeah. Got to get the PTO request in. And obviously these are all personal views and don't present those of my employers, present, future, past, and not financial advice.
Let's go. Is that how you know you have a good guest, Brian? If they feel like they actually have to give that disclaimer, they have so many good things going on in their life that they can't risk it by saying something untoward on this show.
I think so. I mean, we also echo those, even though we don't have employers, we still, this is entertainment purposes only. Don't sue us. Don't dupe us.
Yeah. So the big story that was breaking, and we're going to touch on a lot of stuff today, but this Spanky story, and I feel like I've read like three articles and three threads on it. My head is still spinning. I will pull up kind of a tweet that summarizes this, but as I get this up, guys, do you want to give people like a quick overview as you understand what happened here with Spanky, this beard in DraftKings?
I guess I'll go.
Yeah,
I haven't checked this morning yet. I've been busy all day, but yeah, who knows how what's been happening even in the last 6 hours. This is a good summation up until last night, maybe this morning, Pete.
Yeah, so I'll try to do this quickly. There is a bit of humor in this rundown. A guy named Oscar goes to Bet Bash, which is an annual event that Spanky now hosts. Lots of people from the world of sports betting attend it, kind of a networking / conference type vibe. Oscar meets Spanky. Oscar finds Whale Steve, who former professional poker player. There's some kind of stories out there about him degenning at pretty high stakes. Oscar posts $20,000 to Spanky for his play. So Oscar is essentially serving as an intermediary between Spanky and this new beard, Steve. Oscar gives $80,000 to Steve to bet the plays. Steve wins in 2 months over $300,000, but Oscar never collects from Steve. I feel like I'm reading a children's book here. Steve alleges Spanky sent Masked Man. This was what initially made the waves in the news. Spanky keeps $20,000 from Oscar. Oscar's now broke after losing $100,000 in life savings of posted money that was never returned to him, plus the winnings. Then Oscar sues Steve for these winnings. Oscar loses lawsuit because he signed a document promising to never sue Steve. Oscar now ordered to pay over $200,000 in legal fees to Steve, who is an attorney who represented himself. It was going around that it was Jane Doe or whatever, John Doe, and it was actually Steve all along. So Steve is now up 580,000. Spanky's up 20,000. Oscar is down 300,000. DK is down 300,000. Steve sues DK for 1 million. Moral of the story, don't attend Bet Bash. It could ruin your life.
And
I'll go to you real quick here, Shady. One of the big parts of this story was this idea. Steve was claiming that DraftKings leaked personal information about this other player to him. Are you buying any part of that story? Is that something you think could actually happen?
I mean, it would be very surprising to me if that was the way that someone found out personal information about you in 2024 online, particularly there. It wouldn't surprise me if there was like one bad actor or something that did it also. I think the other thing about this that it's not clear to me is, did Spanky front some of that 80K and was expecting money back? Because if not, like, why does Spanky care? Like, why is Spanky going after the guy who's in the middle and hasn't gotten any money yet? So understanding that is also a little confusing.
Brian, you just sent me here an update to this story. Spanky believes plaintiff is representing himself in this case. And then this was the update. As of last night, Stephen Jacobs is no longer an employee of the law firm Herbert Smith Freehills, a source with the knowledge of the situation, told Sports Handle. Yeah, hours after the plaintiff implicated Spanky in a complex 2023 extortion plot, the prominent sports bettor fired back in a detailed social media post on Tuesday night. There are all kinds of tentacles to this story, Brian, but it does seem like a big part of it is how messy bearding gets and kind of the relationship between pro sports bettors and the sports books.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. It's also messy, frankly, for lawyers, in my opinion. This is a lot more common than a lot of people realize. Especially if you don't like have anything people want, you probably don't get messed with by lawyers. But businesses or people who have stuff, they know well that a lot of lawyers are really, their entire business is just them suing people. And then part of that racket is getting legal fees paid for in the decision, or just to get them to kind of buy you off and cancel the lawsuit as long as you pay for some legal fees, which is their direct salary. So it's really scummy behavior. Like, this is why people talk shit about lawyers for 100 years. You know what I mean? Is this type of behavior? This guy also, his handle was Steve Betts on PokerStars, I think. I think I used to play against this guy.
Really?
A little bit. Yeah, I remember Steve Betts, but it was so long ago. Who knows?
There were some funny characterizations. Yeah, here's what Brian's referencing. Online, he played under the name Steve Betts and became well-known on PokerStars. He rose to the point where he was playing in the nosebleed, heads-up sit-and-goes, winner-take-all games with a 5K buy-in. A source described Jacob's playing style as extremely aggressive and volatile. And then there were people on the 2+2 forum who had a less charitable reading and said he was a legendary tilter and all-around maladjusted nutcase, which is a nice turn of the phrase there. In this story, he compares him to both Mike from Rounders as a skilled poker player pursuing a law career, but also like Edward Norton's Worm, supposedly a reckless, degenerate gambler who couldn't stop digging holes for himself. Who are you, Shady? Are you closer to Matt Damon's Mike or Edward Norton's Worm in Rounders?
Probably Matt Damon. Just being from the Boston area in general, it's easier to associate more with those characters.
Yeah. Shady, I don't recall. Do you do any? I think I asked you maybe on After Dark and Forget. Do you do much sports betting?
No, especially for these sorts of reasons, that it seems like most of the work is trying to figure out how to get money down places that don't want you to do it. And you're always swimming uphill and trying to come up with a new grifter scheme to get it done. Not saying I could beat the markets if I did, but that has not been worth the effort so far.
It does, like, you hear these stories. It was actually a good podcast that coincidentally Spanky and Haralabob had done a while. And just it really is an organizational thing. Ultimately, like, how well organized can you get? Like, who are your contacts? How do you streamline that process? It seems like the beating the market part is almost just the easy part and just finding the network to be able to actually take advantage of that is really where the game is played.
And the amount of trust you just have to have, and I think basically random people eventually at some point, is also pretty insane since you're fronting a bunch of the money.
The I think the three early salacious things we know about, which made Spanky look really bad, was one, the DraftKings, getting information from DraftKings employees, two, sending someone threatening, and three, being involved with the mob. You think that's fair? That's kind of the three big ones. You know, everything else was like, yeah, Spanky backed or bearded for some degen who could get down big bets for him. Like, that's not that controversial. You know, in our world anyways.
Yeah.
So I would say as of now, with all this information coming out, the guy getting fired and stuff, in his reasoning for like why he would come up with that angle, that Steve would sue DraftKings, is because Spanky was playing him, right? He's saying, I told him that we can get the information from DraftKings to see what he would do, because we think he's trying to stiff us. So I think that one, I doubt he got any info from DraftKings on this guy. I would say that's pretty highly unlikely. He says he didn't send anyone there to threaten him.
You calling a little more BS on that one?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe not. And then he didn't mention anything about the mob. He didn't mention a fucking thing about them. Maybe we shouldn't either. This show's for entertainment purposes only. I said this in our group chat before, you know, the last couple of days before we were talking about what we're going to talk about on the show. And it's like, it seems like a big, it doesn't seem that dumb to like go public like Spanky has the last 3-4 years with a podcast and a business model and a Bet Bash. He hosts this big get together.
Way more influencer than like sports betting mob boss at this point, right?
Yeah, it's like, and you're like John Gotti. You're like asking for it. If like your part of your everyday life is sending mob goons after people who owe you money, it's like you can't become Spanky the social media influencer. Like, that just seems like such a fucking dumb thing to do if that's like a big part of your life. So I'm guessing most of all that shit is this guy's fake lawsuit, and he's a lawyer. It probably takes him an hour to ruin someone's life. You know, you know what I mean? Someone like Spanky has money who can fight. It doesn't make it right that Spanky has to pay 50 grand to get out of this or whatever. But like, you know, these lawyers do this shit all the time. So I'm guessing almost all three of those claims are bullshit. And this is just a straight up degen who either blew it all or was paying off other debts first. And then was banking on his law shenanigans to kind of get around this until he was, you know, made whole or something.
And I agree with you. Like, once you're elevated to the place Spanky is within the sports betting influencer ecosystem, like, the whole reason mob bosses resort to that kind of behavior is they don't have any influence outside of the streets, so to speak, right? Like, Spanky can actually influence these things through back channels, through his platform. It does seem weird to risk it going that way, because essentially this is the mob boss post. This is the 2024 equivalent. You go to Twitter, you use your extra characters, you tell the whole story, and you get all the people behind the scenes kind of elbowing their way to get what you want otherwise. So why he would try to go both those routes? And isn't too, like, you listen to guys like Kerala Bob talk, and there's a slippage to doing business like this. Like, you are going to run into dead ends. You are going to get taken advantage of people. But if you're doing this at scale over and over, you're getting like, that's just the cost of doing business. I'm going to move on to the next one. Like, is it really worth risking all of that to go like the goon route?
It probably depends on if news that this guy had stiffed him or something was getting out, right? Like, that's why you typically try to go make an example in the, at least the movies, having had no actual mob life experience, is if there's somebody who owes him, you know, $2 million, $20 million, and this is the way to like sort of get that person a little more scared to get that money back or something. Maybe you do that. But otherwise, I can't imagine it being a plus EV move.
Don't you think that has like diminishing returns? Like we've talked about on the show a bunch of times, like trying to buy off Michael Jordan. It's like you'd have to give this guy $2 billion just to even make up financially for what he's going to lose if he gets caught. I understand you can get the Jonte Porters and stuff like that, but like the LeBrons and stuff, it's like you can never get that much money down to like make a profit and make Michael Jordan whole. There's also like, if a guy owes you $20 million, I don't think sending a goon is going to get you $20 million. $500,000, $300,000 or whatever he was owed here, maybe it does. So I just think the sending the goon thing, like at a certain point, you're just like, I'm fucking stiff. There's nothing I can do.
Oh man. Yeah. And you know, the other part, DraftKings did release a statement on Tuesday. They called the allegations baseless while adding that it found no evidence that a company employee provided the plaintiff's personal information to a third party. Like it would just make absolute zero sense whatsoever. And it's not like they don't want Spanky betting on their site. It's not like this is the whale of all whales who they just want to appease at all costs. They're like, actually get away. Like, don't deal with this. Like they're not doing him personal favors.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Honestly, it doesn't seem like this guy, maybe not just a gambling, maybe he's got a little drug problem. Like this doesn't seem very reasoned through. You know, oh, I'm going to sue DraftKings. And then when I get a million out of them, I'll be able to pay all these back. I don't know. It makes sense to sue like Spanky or like Shady, honestly, or somebody like us. Like it makes sense because like we what are we going to do? We're going to hire a lawyer, but maybe we'll settle with you. But like, you know, fucking with DraftKings. Good luck.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this story, Shady? It doesn't sound like this is going to get you into the world of sports betting anytime soon. Pretty cozy in the best ball streets. No goons getting sent after best ball guys that I know of.
I don't know. I've lost power twice in the last week. I've been blaming the heat wave, but maybe these are people coming after the
That was Liam.
The code. Yeah,
that was definitely Liam. Can we talk about bearding? Can we talk about bearding?
Yeah. Let's
before we pivot here. So this is also, I mean, Rufus is talking about it online right now on Twitter. I'm not sure we'd need to share those, but maybe we could. In our world, we just kind of assume, yeah, like sports bettors, that's what they do. We know a lot about this stuff. In the real world, people don't understand that if you win at most retail sports books, you're going to get limited pretty quickly and you got to like play games and even that won't work. Play games by like betting sides at Buffalo Wild Wings with your buddies, just so you can bet props without getting limited down to, you know, $1.25 or less. And so I think there's an interesting moral like discussion around bearding at all. That like I don't see on sports betting Twitter at all talked about, I think, in a logical way. So like my take is like there's kind of two sides to this. So bearding is when you can't bet, so you use preferably some whale who's got high limits and or still an active account, or like even using your mom's account or your wife's account or your brother's or something like that. And then betting, getting money down either through them or through some like bot to get around the company's policy of banning you. So I think leaving all the other stuff aside, and there's a lot to the other side, that's clearly immoral, right? That's clearly immoral. Like if my business doesn't want you or my property, like if you define business as something you own, like I own DraftKaddy or Endgame Syndicate. That's not your shit. Like if I don't want Shady to use DraftKaddy, he can't use it. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean?
You get a beard to a beards plugin.
Well, there you go. This could happen. Someone can sign up and then get the DraftKaddy and then go, oh, I'm going to copy this and do something else. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I don't want you to use my account. So there's not, you know, like even if like my shovel, I don't want you to use my shovel. For whatever fucking reason, that's my problem. So like when a company, so what this is akin to, like a little more analogous, is kind of like insurance fraud. So an insurance company doesn't want to give Shady a policy because he's too risky for X reason, right? So this would be like a way for Shady to get around that and then go to get the policy under his wife somehow. I know this isn't apples for apples. That's why it's
Yeah, no, I'm following you.
And then they illegally get that money through the wife, right? I think not only is that immoral, it's against the law. Now, here's the flip side. There's two parts on the flip side is there are moral claims to other people's properties occasionally. Like if Pete was hiking with a family member and the family member got hurt in a life-threatening way and I wouldn't let you use my car. I'm like, nah, Pete, I'm going to drink. My buddies are expecting me at the bar and I want to have a few drinks. You can't use my car, right? And then you steal my car and take the person to the hospital. I don't think anyone would think that's immoral. And the judge would probably give you a light sentence. I don't know what the case law is, but you get the idea. There's always like there are some gray areas. And that's kind of what we're dealing with here, is especially with someone like Steve Betts, where DraftKings will let this guy who's got allegedly, this is all entertainment purposes only, possibly a gambling addiction problem, a drug problem, let him bet his life away while limiting someone who's winning while doing ads saying
who got six straight bets of plus EV in, and now they're shutting them.
Yeah, but then they'll do ads on the Super Bowl saying, you want to be a millionaire, come to the DraftKings sports book. So all sorts of things going, and the thing I think most egregious is then they use the state to limit competition, get regulatory framework in their benefit, and you know they'll argue like, oh, but our taxes are really high and stuff like that, and like those are good things for you because then you can get a monopolies. But so there is a lot going on here, right? I still think I would lean that it's still wrong, generally speaking, to beard it, but I don't think it's that wrong because these companies, I think the only way you can like rationalize it yourself to be like, no, this is okay, is because they use the state against you because they take advantage of whales kicking people out, kicking you out, the winning better, I think is, even though I hate it and it's happened to me, I think is the least of the, although it factors in, is the least strongest argument. Because like of the insurance example, I don't think a company is required to risk more than they want. It's their shit.
Yeah. All right, that's more like an all-you-can-eat buffet, right? Like I'm okay if you put a time limit on all-you-can-eat buffet. I'm okay if you say you can't take food away from you from an all-you-can-eat buffet. I'm okay if like the expensive items, you can't take all you want of those. You only let them to five of the thing. But like generally saying that someone who eats more than somebody else is not allowed into your all-you-can-eat buffet is kind of feels weird to me, right? Like, okay, you should set it up so that like I recognize
the 300-pound guy gets turned away at the door, right? So the little guys come in.
Can come in and you make more money off them. Like that doesn't feel right. And like obviously it's hard to beard your appetite into a restaurant, but like the concept of like turning people away because of their monetary impact as the sole reason just feels weird enough to me that I have trouble getting onto the sportsbook side of this.
One other interesting thing about the Spanky angle, from even just like a pragmatic standpoint, for DraftKings is I think I understand when there's like a faceless sports bettor that's just siphoning money away from you and you're like, get this guy off here. But Spanky actually serves a promotional purpose to growing the sports betting ecosystem. Spanky talking about it, making content, hosting events, it makes people want to bet more sports. Like DraftKings should want to be aligned with Spanky the influencer. We can separate that from Spanky the sports bettor, but like that's not the guy you're trying to, you know, piss off. Like Spanky, I would argue, is a net good for the sports betting space when like most of the actors probably aren't, because they are just siphoning off EV and not trying to create or grow the space.
I think I agree with you. I just think these are kind of two different things. They probably shouldn't be doing any of this. I like the Circa model for sure. I think it's better for everyone. It'd be a heck of a lot better if there was more Circas, I think. I also think though that DraftKings, it wants to put a kibosh on Circa, and not only them, a lot of other competition, even though the Jason Robbins will go, no, we love competition. But like Shady, I think your analogy in the is a little apples and oranges. It's not bad, but the all you can eat buffet, I think it's more just like a regular restaurant. you could order as much as you want as a regular restaurant, but like, it's more like if they say you can have a coupon 2-for-1, and but then you get around that by getting your wife to also, you know, get more, or your friends to get more, or somebody else to abuse the coupon system.
Yeah.
All you can eat buffet would be like specific, like it's a very specific thing where everyone can cut, like it's a specific promotion from that's an oddity in the regular in the regular restaurant industry.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm not super expert on the restaurant couponing and
I like to get market it.
But I think I don't have an issue with them banning people from their establishment. It's just, I mean, they can do what they want, I think. I think the optics and the way that the licensing works makes it a little bit harder when, like, if you are the sole proprietor of a service because of the way licensing has worked in your state, and then you're banning people for reasons, I'm not a lawyer, that feels like you might get into weird territories because they can't access this. You could go to another restaurant, right? But you can't go to another sports book if they're the only one in your state.
That, and, yeah, again, sport, like the legal using the state, I think is one of the stronger arguments for why you can just go fuck it. And again, it's a private company, bro. I don't like that shit. Like, it's like, cause you know, like the example with like Pete's hurt family member. Yeah. It's my car, but of course, you know, he should just, you know, he should take it and save the person's life. So like, that's an extreme example where this, I don't know. Like, I don't think it reaches that level, but DraftKings, not just them, but most sports books alone, there's so much of limiting, using whales, using the state. I think you can kind of go, fuck it, I'm going to beard. And like, I'm not saying any of this is legal or illegal. I'm just saying, like, just morally speaking. But I think in the sports betting world, they just go, yeah, no, you beard. Once you get limited, you beard. And it's like, okay, I guess. I mean, I think there's a little more questionable to this, you know, because I don't know how shady, if you pay attention to like the sports betting Twitter, what's the moral one? Why do I keep forgetting, Pete, the moral group on Twitter that shames like Rufus and everybody?
S-ville, shit, something.
Seville. Yeah. So like they like have this moral high ground on touts and all sorts of stuff. And it's like, yeah, you're bearding. Is that like some sort of like, you know, righteous way to go about gambling? I don't know. I don't think so.
I had pulled this up because I had seen this analogy. If we're doing the equivalents here, I thought this one was good. He said, imagine an art auction where the people who understand art were not allowed to bid, but people with money who could be easily duped about the value of art were sent special invites. Welcome to the modern world of sports betting in the United States. I thought that was a pretty spot on analogy there.
Kind of. I mean, the
Brian is here to pick apart any of our analogies. Buffet, no art.
That's why I think insurance is better, more apples for apples, because it's risk management, and you're getting you have the potential to get something back too. Like, it's like a cash exchange, where if you bet, like, you get double your money. Where this, it's not like I get a picture on my wall. Maybe I could resell it. That's not why you're buying it generally. Where in insurance and sports betting, it's like a direct cash exchange. Yeah. Cash for more cash. But based on the risk we're both willing to take.
Yeah, the other thing that made me think of this is the Massachusetts Gaming Commission had tried to set up like this round table, and Shady, you're probably familiar with this, and they invited all of the, you know, sports books to come, and they're gonna talk about this limiting issue essentially, and then none of them showed up.
Yeah, it's a big old no thanks from everybody in the industry. It's like, oh, okay.
I think that our example, one good point from it is these sports books should go. I mean, they kind of do, but they kind of like go like most people are losing bettors. It's on their website. You kind of have to search for it. And then maybe they shouldn't glorify their commercials so much if they're limiting. And then I think you get rid of that arc example if you like entirely if you do that. Yeah. But insurance companies are essentially like sports books. they're not much different.
Right. All right, let's any other thoughts on this bearding thing? Anywhere you think this goes, or do you guys think it's wild that Spanky is so willing to say the quiet part out loud, or it's so known at this point that it's even not important?
I didn't find that shocking that he said that out loud.
Yeah.
I think people think that's it's illegal, and I'm pretty sure in most states it's not.
You can, you know, W2G out poker winnings, right? If you, most casinos will split it and pay two people if you split the buy-in. So like, it seems like it falls into the same category. Obviously the sports book won't do that for you, but
that's kind of a more interesting topic too, is like, if I tell Pete, you know, bet purple Gatorade, you know, is that bearding? Is that not, like, no, you know, I think like,
especially because Brian just said it's the same color as Lowell's, dude. It would be so fun.
I guarantee it, bro.
All right. Let's talk about a slightly less salacious world of best ball. I know, Shady, when we first talked, like last year, you were starting to dip your toes into the best ball streets. Then you famously came into our world and finished third overall in BBM 4. And now you're a full-on best ball bro. You're a regular contributor at Legendary Upside. You had been working behind the scenes on this new Sidekick product. But I guess before we dive into the Sidekick stuff, talk a little bit about what has pulled you into the world of best ball, despite every other DFS pro saying, hey, it's too much time, it's a money suck, you know, it takes too long. Why are you dipping your toes here?
It's fun. That's pretty right, much what show, it is.
We'll see you later.
Yeah. I think it's that was mostly it. It's fun. It feels a little bit more like playing poker to me, in that you're sort of sitting at a table with other people who you can think about what they might do and use data and strategy that way, as opposed to like having, you know, at least full knowledge of everything you're going to do at one time, loading up for DFS. And in my case, going to watch episodes of Survivor or Love Island for the rest of the night, unless there's any news. So, yeah, it's been nice to get into something like that.
And then how do you go from that? So you're playing, you had that score last year. How do you go from that to, you know, working on this tool for Legendary Upside?
I had been bothering Sacrilegious and Pat about some way to express their rankings as non-integer values, because I wanted to do some portfolio stuff with their like skill expression of players and try to figure out how I wanted to do sort of what we call like Bayesian uncertainty in the space to express sort of the uncertainty in what they're doing and stuff like that. And going on through some conversations, it sounds like that was something that they obviously were pretty interested in incorporating stuff. So we started working on that, and then it made sense to integrate with the dynamic rankings tool, since that helps you proactively manage those portfolios.
And have you, because I know you guys have a developer, are you just working on the math, or are you actually doing some of the coding?
Just the coding of the math, if that makes sense. I am not a web developer or a software engineer, so I let the people who are less likely to critically break something handle that, even though I'll have a look to make sure the JavaScript or whatever it is looks like it's doing the same stuff I think it should be doing.
I assume a decent amount of people around here are familiar with what the Sidekick is, but what's the elevator pitch on that product for people who aren't familiar?
I like to think of it as having little versions of Pat, Sack, and myself sort of sitting on your shoulder, thinking about what might make sense for your next pick coming around in the draft. So it helps with the diversification elements that I think are really important, as well as the rankings that Pat and Sack put together, as well as what we think about might correlate and matter in a BBM style contest. And it provides you those rankings based on your current team and who's available in the lobby.
And Brian, when you saw this tool from Shady as the proprietor of the Draft Caddy, did you treat it as if someone borrows your shovel and you were ready to go to blows?
Yeah, if Shady needs to borrow my car when he's in the woods and the emergency, he ain't getting it. Let's just say that. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I mean, I assumed something else was going to going to happen. Honestly, they went in the direction, probably there's the only direction you can really go. You could try to do more like overlay stuff, but that probably seems like there's only so much screen space and you got already multiple like products out there you're competing against. So it's kind of the only direction you can go, but it's also kind of the most dangerous direction where like Underdog might just go, yeah, we're not allowing that anymore. Or, you know, like they probably have more direct communication with Underdog than I do. Who knows? Maybe not. But because I just know from like firsthand experience, right, they rolled ours back and like, you know, and said, you can do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And so I switched it all to how they wanted. But like it seemed very clear that they don't really want it to progress beyond much more than what I have. And so, you know, putting all that time and effort into it without like knowing if you're even going to be able to have this product going forward is risky. I don't know, and also like, okay, then, so like, what can the draft caddy be do now? And like, how far can we push this? You know? So like, I think Underdog needs to like put some like hard and fast rules on what it's allowed to do and stuff like that. Like, does yours take into account like what other people are likely to do?
No. There's a bunch of things that are on my list of could break fantasy draft games that I think are doable, but we've decided not to put in. And we'll still do so. I think just for scrum contests, this actually started as a slow draft tool, right? In a world in the same way that they did putting your own picks in for their playoff best ball thing last time. So this is a thing that could work 100% without any information from Underdog, you know, if you just went to a site and started putting this stuff in a slow draft. And so I think it's very hard. Let me put it this way. It depends on what you define as a skill in a best ball like game. If you think it's an important skill to be able to evaluate player skill, you shouldn't allow people to sell rankings, right? And upload them, because that is a portion of the skill that by doing selling that and uploading it, you're removing from the game. If you think it's important to memorize the weekly correlation that the teams that correlate in the playoffs, you shouldn't allow overlays that give you that information, because that skill is important for expressing skill in the game. And so they, you know, they're pretty clear about the ways in which tools can interact with their site, which is why you can't have an auto drafter that automatically makes a pick for you, because that is interacting with the site in a way that you can't do. I think it's very hard to start policing what level of skill something can express for you, as long as it's interacting with the website in a way in which the terms of services permits. I think best ball is a complex enough game that you're not going to run into like real RTA issues, because I mean, maybe we get compute that can do it, but there's, you know, tens of trillions of solutions. And so it feels like a pretty safe space.
What was your guys's level of communication with Underdog as you were developing this? Or was it just like, let's build it and ask for forgiveness later? Like, how did that go? Because you devoted like significant resources. The product looks great. Like it clearly wasn't something you guys could just risk getting turned off after a lot of development.
Yeah, there were conversations. I'm not exactly sure what happens behind NDA and like relationship stuff. I will say that like, as we're, you know, working on DraftKings and I am sort of interfacing directly with their game integrity team to figure out like what they're okay with us doing on their site in comparison to what it does on Underdog and the things like that. And so we're open to feedback if they don't like it and they have the channels in there, but from a like what was allowed in the current terms of service, and they could always change the terms of service, and we will work with them to figure that out. But I think this seems fine to me, obviously.
But it wasn't like a Hail Mary. You guys had confidence that the product you were putting out was going to be fully allowed and not at least rolled back under the current terms of service.
Yeah. And then, you know, we always have the fallback plan of, well, you can always enter the picks and slow drafts. And if people really think this level of thing kills best ball, you shouldn't be playing any tournaments that allow slow drafts anyways, because people are doing this and could do this in slow drafts, and you could do way more advanced things with 8 hours on pick clock than what this does. If that kills or it is an unfair advantage, then you should be terrified that slow drafts exist.
Yeah.
Makes sense for like Legendary Upside, Like, we want our users to utilize our tools in an easy way. Like, that, I think that makes complete sense. Like, the idea behind the draft caddy more was more or less a better auto drafter than theirs, because theirs is so bad, right? And, like, you know, what if you have to go to the store or something really quick and you're going from your laptop here, you know, you're going to miss a pick or two. You can't turn theirs on. It's so bad, you know? So, like, I guess you could queue up like five guys that might work or something like that. So just something that doesn't give you dog shit was kind of at least like the bare minimum without, you know, going crazy to where it would upset them. But I think there's like kind of two things going on here. One, like when you ask Shady, like, why would he want to do this? I think Nerdy has the best answer, Nerdy Tenor, which is like, he doesn't have the bandwidth, Nerdy Tenor, to like do his life DFS and then put in 400 hours of drafting on Underdog and DraftKings in a soup, the probably the highest variance, what's it called? Skill game gambling that is available to us. So it's a good environment for him to like come up with videos or tools that really doesn't affect him a ton. So like there's that. And then there's the question of, okay, let's say you ban overlays and the sidekick and draft caddy. Okay, well, then now everyone who can do that is going to do it on their own. And it's going to go into the whatever, the dark web. You know, there'll be, you know, 20, 50 power users who are like just working endlessly, like, oh, now I'm the only one who has access to this shit.
Yeah.
So like that will definitely happen. So like, I, this is just my opinion. I don't run a big gambling facility, but like I would just be specific and be like, well, we're allowing this, no further. Everything else is against terms and services. And then anyone who really has access can have access to it for like not that much money.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
And the comment you made, two of all the different sports, not only does it have, you know, the most, say, like randomness or volatility, but I would say it's also the cohort of users that are most there for entertainment purposes because of it. It's basically necessitates that it's for entertainment. The time it takes, like, you are a pretty sick fuck if you're willing to spend 45 minutes a pop hundreds of times hating this just to like eke out a little EV. Like, you are a sick pup if you're not enjoying this to some extent. So that is the thing too, of like, I think of it more as this is another way to help these sickos who enjoy this draft process, like enjoy it even more and ratchet up their volume even more because it's just untenable. I've been using the sidekick for slow drafts. I have zero interest in using it for a live draft. The whole point of the live draft for me is I'm in the mode. I'm watching what everyone's doing. I'm talking out the correlations with my guests. Like, that's the whole fun of it for me. But if I'm doing 20 slow drafts because I want to max a $3.20 max, not having to remember where I'm at, yada, yada. And I am a perfect use case for this in that I probably wouldn't do as many slow drafts without these overlays and these tools to help me out because it really facilitates. And so that's also good for the platforms. It's more people who want to max, more people who want to get money down. And yeah, I do view it pretty similar to like this with as far as the Sims. In the same way, like, I'd run the Sims, it would tell me what the best lineup was. I wouldn't always pick that one. I'm going to go pick the one I want. I'm going to pick the players I want. Sometimes the caddy, the overlays tell me to take one player. I'm like, no, I'm grabbing this guy. I don't know. Brian, you're pushing back on the Sims example.
Sims are better than the draft tools.
For what it does for your ROI, it's probably.
Yeah, especially because sure. You can make them as complicated as you want. And you could do a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. I don't think the draft tools are getting you that level. Can you put up Nerdy's comment there, please?
Solved.
That one. Yeah, solved isn't the problem to worry about. The worry is auto drafters that are good enough to be plus EV. I think this goes both ways, though, because you want regulars in this type of gambling environment like poker. You want a whole bunch of regulars, too, because then that makes a whole bunch of more games to be played. So these tools will make more regulars. I mean, it's now, are they all plus EV? I doubt it. Are there probably gonna be a few more than there would have otherwise? Probably. So like, I mean, maybe you don't want regulars. I think you probably do, especially now, you know, and during the weeklies, right? And maybe you can even get a cash game environment going, which you're not going to do that without without some tools. Like, there's not enough sickos to spend 500, 600 hours doing these drafts. And then poker, you could come and go. You can sit down and play, especially the cash games, obviously. But I'm talking. So, like, I don't know. I think that's kind of your choice is, like, you can ban them, and then a certain subset will use them illegally. And then – or you can make them legal but, like, try to regulate them to the point where they're not super plus EV or whatever. And then you just get more regulars and more games going for the casuals. I mean, that kind of seems like the direction I would go in.
Yeah, one other comment here, and then I want to get some more of Shady's thoughts. Crutches in the chat, people are smart enough, rich enough to pay prices for premium tools. We're going to draft plus EV in a plus EV fashion regardless. Nolan's saying something similar. The drafting tools, the people using them right now are already above average drafters. It's not moving the needle much right now. Yeah, I think I generally agree with that. Shady, what has it been like from your vantage point? Obviously, there's been lots of discourse, both on, like, the effectiveness of the tool, but then also what it means as far as, like, the best ball space. What has it been like from your guys' perspective on the other side?
Funny, for lack of a better, but I don't know. It's, you know, anytime we do think, obviously, it's helping our subs be more plus EV, or at least making them able to get more volume down in the same EV way faster. Otherwise, we wouldn't be offering a tool for money. I do think that if you want this space to grow, you need to find a way for people to feel comfortable drafting more teams. And I don't know that the sites are going to do that for you. I don't know that they care particularly, given the size of their best ball stuff compared to the other things that they work on. And one of the easiest ways to make that start happening is to give them the signal that contests are feeling faster than they expected. And they'll open more and you'll get more things going. I don't know. I agree a lot with Brick, unfortunately, for someone who are in hostile environments, and I'm no longer going to be able to save my friend who's injured in the woods with his car. But, you know, these aren't contest sims, but let's use contest sims as an example. It probably wasn't great for my EV that contest sims came out. It definitely changed the way that the smart field was playing, but it's not the dummies who are paying that much money for it, right? So if the sport was sensitive enough to this amount of edge moving around and, like, the upper echelons of the play, like, maybe the sport wasn't that good to be playing in the first place. And so I'm not too worried that things like this are going to ruin it. I mean, if someone finds some way to, like, what you should be worried is about underdog or drafting and deciding that this is good enough, they should put this in as their auto drafter, right? Then that maybe kills the games, right? If everybody who's auto drafting in all the lobbies is doing something that is significantly worse than whatever they're doing now, that wouldn't be great.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is good for multi-tabling too. And best ball hasn't gotten to the multi-table level yet. As far as the content,
Davis Maddox says, hold my beer, bro. 20 puppies at
20 tables, bro. poker, it was like there's definitely like a point there where you start losing your EV with the more tables you add, but guys would still do it for points and they didn't realize they were losing. So, like, tools that can encourage multi-tabling might, like, be also, it gets liquidity down, more games for people to play, and it might lower the dude's EV, but it makes it playable to do that. Maybe you just want to get those in. So there's a lot going on here than, oh, they're giving us the answer and it's the guaranteed to win. Like, that's definitely not happening in best ball.
Yeah, I think leaving the element of the human making a mistake, at least from our perspective, was important. Like, we didn't do the top thing from the thing cues on your turn type of stuff. I know that that's a nice feature to have for slightly more intelligent tool like the Draft Caddy, right? But, like, it makes it nervous if you don't leave open that human element of mistake if you're multi-tabling. I think that is an important thing to still have there, at least from those.
Yeah. And the other thing about this, and I obviously agree with Brian that sims are more powerful as far as what they will do for your bottom line, but there is that element of, you know, maybe there's table stakes as far as like all the tools will know, like how to properly quantify correlations and that stuff, but it still doesn't change that it's going to be dependent on the inputs and the ranks in it. Like there could be 8 different sites that had the sidekick. And if they're using their different rankings, like the teams are going to look totally different. The premium they're putting on some of the correlations and stuff would be different. So there still is that. Yes, there's the, you know, it's expedited for you and it is a tool, but it's also not like there's a correct answer. Like it's still going to only be as good as the ranks in those kind of player level takes as well.
The question is it going to get you on a truffle hunting excursion?
King of the segue. I don't even have to host this show
anymore. Wow. No, to my knowledge, it's very tough to get the volume down in best ball needed to hit the Onyx tier credit level to owe on truffle hunting. Although maybe if DraftKings start offering those or if Underdog offers similar rewards in the future, then you can go truffle hunting.
So yeah, give me the timeline on this because Brian and I have done a couple of shows, you know, hawking the DraftKings rewards. That was one that jumped out to us. I believe there was like a photo of an Italian meadow or something. You actually took them up on this on this reward?
So we did. My wife and I went on the truffle hunting excursion. That would have been, I guess, 2 years ago now. We did the whiskey trip this year, similar reward there that included whiskey and falconry, which I'm happy to also touch on.
Once is there a photo? Are there photos of any of this? I need a photo of a falcon on your shoulder.
Snifter. They're there. It was falconing is far more cool than I possibly could have imagined it being. But we'll go there after truffle hunting. So truffle hunting, the whole excursion was lovely. We're not fancy humans. So it was a little uncomfortable for us staying in a bunch of really fancy hotels and being like, okay, we're going to go to this 5-star restaurant and like sit here and eat really tall, small portions of food for a while. So that was a little weird. We also ran into what must have been the parents of the nicest drafter or Max somethinger or sportsbook whale there who sent his parents on the trip rather than doing the Onyx gift himself. So we rented them.
Username Steve Betts parents.
Could be. I didn't get their last names. So they also were on, they were like a day behind us in all the progressions, but we did the truffle hunt together. A truffle hunt itself, you got to go to this nice little meadow. You met a dog named Paco, who you went out with a group of like 6 people, and you basically had to race the dog to wherever he smelled the truffles, otherwise he would dig them up and eat them. And then you got some truffles and you got to do a cooking class and stuff.
How this is like probably the last question anyone has, but I have it. What is the level of like organization from the DraftKings side? Is it like a really like white glove thing? Are you kind of like showing up and you're like, I'm here for the DraftKings truffle hunt? Like, how does that actually work?
Yeah. So they hand you off to what I assume is like a boutique travel agency that handles everything basically.
Okay.
So you give them the list of days that you want or open, and they then give like the list of all people who've selected that trip to this people for them to figure out who gets what choices of days, I assume. And then the trip itself is bonkersly white glove. Like you're going in a black car everywhere and like you have a guy with a sign with your name on it at the airport. And you're like, oh, it's me.
Did you say your government name or shady advice?
It would have my government last name on there, which is probably good. Otherwise, they probably would have thought it was a joke and not showing up at the airport, which would have been unfortunate being stranded at Fiumicino in Rome.
Brian, hearing these stories of this lovely European adventure, are you starting to have a little FOMO that you haven't taken DraftKings up on these offers?
Not at all. Not at all. No offense to the truffle hunter out there.
What about the falconry? I didn't even see that one when we were scrolling through. Is that an off-menu item, Shane?
Might be new.
It was the one this year. So for this year's credits, there was a bunch of golf things, which isn't really my jam. And then there was a Paris and a Scotland.
I assume Scotland the whiskey with Scotland.
Yeah, whiskey in Scotland plus falconry there.
Nice.
So drunk with a bird of prey at your shoulder? That sounds like a bad mix.
It was at the hotel. So we were, I guess we could have been drunk that early in the day if we wanted to, but we weren't. So they have... it's one of these like weird like sort of resort hotels. And they have this area where they have like ferrets and hunting dogs and birds of prey. And you get to like, depending on, I guess, how experienced you are in falconry, you get a different experience. We had never done it before. And so you go there, you meet the guy whose name I think was Alex, maybe Zach, something similar. And he like introduces you to all the birds, you walk around, and then you actually take two of them out. And I thought like sort of that would be the end of it or whatever. Or you like, they do a little trick or whatever, but you actually go out and you start teaching them, or you do the like whole thing where you like have them on your arm, you throw them, they go out to a perch, they come back and like eat food off of your hand. And then you do that. And after you learn about the way they work, you take the pair of them out and walk around the hotel grounds. And they're some sort of hawk, which I'm now spacing on the name of, which is actually they hunt in families. So they communicate with each other in the trees by like shaking their feathers and saying like, you go illusion. Forward, see if there's something there. And then they go forward like that. And so you walk around and they're like going up and coming back to you to get the food off your hands and stuff, which was pretty sweet. If you go back the next time, you actually get to go on a hunt with them. You got to see if you go find any rabbits or stuff off in the woods. But
do you think when you're all traveled out, you might take them up on that DraftKings dirt bike instead?
I could do some motocross if I moved out of the city and wasn't worried about breaking my neck in my old age. I heard the e-bikes this year were actually the sweet move, where if you got the e-bike, the electric bicycles, you were actually able to flip them for probably more than you got them there. That's the word on the Discord streets.
Would you rather just get rake back, or do you enjoy this, you know, extra added experience that you probably wouldn't otherwise take yourself?
No, give me rake back. If I was to plan a Scotland trip with that rake back money, it would be infinitely more enjoyable than what I did. But the way that they do the crowns and stuff, it's just not worth doing that and then pulling it out. And then
gotcha.
I just saw that Top Shot lawsuit where we get like 12 cents for every Momuba. Can you imagine if we get all our rake back, DraftKings gets sued and we get all our rake back for over the years? Oh my God.
Filthy rich.
Yeah. What do you think of the rake back programs for best ball? Both Underdog and DraftKings have them going right now.
I like Underdogs enough. I mean, it would be better if it was rake free since they're holding your money for so long, but I get that it's enough of their summer business that they probably can't do that. For DraftKings, both the way they're doing this and the way they've done they're like Onyx Black Friday sale, and like you're hoping it happens, but you don't know if it's going to happen. So you don't know if you're like saving your bullets for when there's going to be a good time to use them because it's a better deal or whatever. I don't love. I'd rather just know and be able to plan. I'm like a person who likes optimizing their behavior, surprise, surprise. And so knowing what when to make the right choices about that would be nice.
Speaking of morally questionable things, I would say rake back is better for the games than rake free, because the players get like a chunk of money at some time, like, oh shit, I can play more. Where if you make it rake free, they kind of just lose the same rate and then don't come back. I think as a player, you'd prefer
your Negrano. I mean, rake is better than no rake over here.
Not no rake. That's ridiculous, because that's like so much more. Like, but like if it was like 25% back instantly, let's say, versus 25% back monthly. As a player, you'd rather have the monthly because you don't really care if you get it today. And the recreational player is going to get a chunk of $500 or $1,000 here. Blah, blah.
True, because I see it play out every year, right? And myself included, everyone gets paid out for their season long stuff after week 17. And then it's like, oh, look at all these playoff contests that are in the lobby. How many people are just full scale, you know, withdrawing versus, you know what, we'll blast off on some of these while the money's in the account. So I do think. And I know that that's why they've been trying to experiment a little bit. They did the initial batch of weekly winners that was going to be like weeks 1 through 4, theoretically, as a way to get an influx of cash back in the system earlier, as opposed to tying it up for 17 weeks. But then no one liked the structure and they scrapped it. I think it's also just it feels slightly more gamified the way they have it too. Like, I have to hit this tier and then I get it back. Then you can kind of like plot out like what's my contest selection. Then you might be more interested in using a tool to help you get down more teams. Like, I do think for the overall ecosystem, and obviously this is for the sickos who are drafting a ton, I think it's just like a fun element to like, I'm going to draft a bunch of teams already, but let me make sure I get to 500 instead of 490.
Yeah.
If you have a comment on there, Shady, don't let me interrupt you, but you asked a question in our group chat that I thought can dovetail on some of the comments. Was should people who work for content sim providers be allowed to play in DFS contests if people work for DFS sites aren't allowed to? That seems like kind of a moral question. Why? I've never heard that thought before. What were you thinking there?
I was just poking the bear a bit. If we wanted to, I mean, theoretically, since they know what lineups you've uploaded, a disingenuous actor could know what the field is more accurately than somebody else. The same way, like, FanDuel doesn't know what people are playing on DraftKings, but it felt bad that that person knew what the ownership might be coming in at, and the optics weren't good. I obviously don't want to take that position, since my exit might look like selling my portfolio code to a site. So maybe don't actually have a strong opinion of that, but it is worth, you know, if people are okay with that, you know, you're giving away your data ultimately the same way that you get free email from Google. And it's always interesting to think what the consequences of that could be.
So like you're like saying like stochastic employees shouldn't be able to play DFS.
Right. I mean, if you think it's a problem that people have access to the actual lineups that the field might play, and if you know who people are and are in their field and they're using your tools and they have access to your entries, that's what you know, right? If you're a malicious actor and wanted to use it that way. I don't think any of them are, but you could.
What's so funny is because, you know, on the flip side, then everyone's like, I want my touts and stuff to have skin in the game. I want to make sure. But then the funny thing is the way the Sims work too, it's like no one's actually sharing like, oh, these are by the Sims part. It's always like willing to share my player takes or whatever. It's like, I don't even know if that overlaps in that example.
You know, the interesting, another interesting thought here is the Ethan Gate, where I think I and the majority of people when that was happening were like, whatever, it doesn't matter that he let his. But nowadays, with access to Sims and to be able to build your own field, and if you have the field and you're simming that out 5 minutes before a lock, that's a pretty big edge, pretty easy to do nowadays. So they like anyone who has access to that information at these sites should definitely not be allowed to play. And probably even back then, although I do not think Ethan Gate was skilled enough to be pulling that off. No offense to Ethan. So
you don't think he had his own contest sims? He was running those ownerships through?
I seriously doubt it. I think he just made a mistake. But even then they shouldn't have been allowing it. And if I said otherwise, I think I was wrong.
Yeah. Shady, how many are you using this tool to max every single contest, or do you have a limit? You know, when the $2.69 mini Chihuahua 4 comes out, is Shady in that?
Probably in that. Mostly, well, wanted to try to get to 1,000 for the rake back, right? And then also, we're always trying to test various things, and I'd much rather test one of those $2 bullets and punt off that than one of my 150 for BBM.
Yeah. What is the most, like if you guys, and maybe you've already done it and I haven't seen, but if you put together an FAQ, like anecdotally, what would be the first thing you would put on the FAQ from the feedback you get from users?
If it's not loading your rankings, please refresh the page.
Okay.
And then after that it's not, we intentionally didn't build it to be an auto drafter. So even though we stand by the top rankings, it's not going to know, like, you're going to get a quarterback if you have a ton of people on there with the stacks, maybe two or three rounds ahead of ADP, because that's how valuable that player is to your current team. And we aren't going to say how far we think you can push that in the room that you're in. And so, you know, you can use it by to click on the top one, pretty confident that's not the most highest EV way to draft with it, but the rankings are there so that you can at least have that context.
And that's where I think that's a really good example of, and, you know, I was using it in a couple of my slow drafts and I'm looking and I was trying to get a wide receiver quarterback. It was recommending me taking the quarterback. And then I'm looking at the teams behind me and they all had two good quarterbacks. I'm like, no, I can push this through, you know, like, would it have been a bad pick if I did that? But it's like using it as a tool, but applying your own context, the other soft skills, that's what separates it to me as, like, you know, and maybe the argument is, well, in the future, it will be able to incorporate data like this that says, hey, these guys have spent X amount of draft capital at quarterback. Therefore, they only have a 22% chance of taking this quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Like, I can understand the slippery slope there, but at least how it is now, it is just a tool. It's not something that is solving an optimal draft. Any other thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, I don't know how much time you have, Pete, but
just a few minutes.
He mentioned his he might sell his portfolio code. I don't even know if he's joking. That's not the point. Do you think portfolio, whatever you want to call it, management is probably your biggest edge? And furthermore, we talked about, I don't know if you caught our end of our roundtable, but we talked about portfolio for quite a bit at the end there. And I think it's a very hard problem to solve. They're degreasing with me. So like any thoughts you have, I'd love to hear them.
So your biggest edge is always relative to how well the field is doing it, right? So if I were to, I'm like a data scientist who has a gigantic background in predictive modeling. So if there were no predictions out there in the world for DFS spaces, I would be crushing in that space because it's what I'm extremely good at. I think that the space that I have a current edge in is figuring out how to play a good balanced portfolio most of the time that is still plus EV, but doesn't expose me to as much risk as, say, Giant Squid does, who I think, despite also being associated with Saber Sim, has one of the most extreme strategies in the other direction that I've seen.
Someone had asked in the chat, and kind of taking that question over to Best Ball, like, do you see the tool as a bigger assistance for overall portfolio diversification across a large number of drafts, or as an edge in an individual draft?
6.5 to take the cop out. I think it's obviously, we think it's a plus EV edge in one draft, but it depends on how much you already know in our accounting and our similar thinking the way that we are. I think it's definitely doing things to proactively manage your portfolio that are very hard to do unless you really are like truly expressing rates by looking at a watch second hand when you're making choices like you would in poker, right? That's hard to do in a way that is natural, I suppose.
And is there just a pure randomization element within the tool outside of the correlation boosts?
Yeah, pure randomization is a very insulting way of describing it. But no, there's an element that tries to express the uncertainty in the rankings. And to control for how much we think you're going to get a player and compared to how valuable that pick is relative to the other picks that you're also facing.
So what I'm hearing you say is, say you have one running back, let's say maybe Jalen Warren, ranked just two spots ahead of Trey Benson. If you always drafted off ranks in that spot, you would just end up with way more Jalen Warren than Trey Benson. But you guys have some math that says, yes, we like this bet relative to Benson, but say maybe at an 8-2 clip as opposed to a 10-0. And therefore, in 10 of my drafts, if I found myself in the exact same spot over and over, in two of those, I would get prompted to take Trey Benson.
Yeah, Najee Harris and Jalen Warren are the perfect example in the current rankings. They're very close to each other in the actual rankings. All of the same sort of team stuff applies to them. Maybe if we built in some sort of like season production slope weighting, they might start changing there. But you will have times when you're drafting with the sidekick where Najee Harris will be above Jalen Warren in your sidekick, despite Pat kicking and screaming every time he sees that in his own drafts.
I assume that's another like support request thing where people get confused then where they say, hey, I thought I subscribed to the Jalen Warren guy's site. Why is it suggesting his dusty backfield mate instead?
Yeah. And that's why I sort of encourage drafting with the legendary upside or whatever rankings you want to use, also load an underdog, right? You can always sort by rankings, see in the player pool what is best by rankings or best by ADP, but then also have the sidekick there that's giving you some advice and diversifying that portfolio based on the ordering it's giving you.
Do you use public projections in DFS?
Yeah, everything's SaberSim.
And because you said you'd make your own, so I'm assuming you think the juice isn't worth the squeeze of putting the time in.
The juice isn't worth the squeeze, nor is setting up a data pipeline to figure out roster changes and stuff in time, right? Most DFS is the squeeze, right? It's the like, Jesus fucking Christ, something happened 3 minutes before lock.
Yeah.
All the other sites picked up on it. Now I'm at a huge disadvantage because I have to.
It's a pain in the ass.
My shit, right? Yeah. And so, and maybe as sites get better and that becomes more and more of the edge, I go back to that.
Okay.
Brian, I didn't get, I only have a couple more minutes here, but tell the people about some of the in-game syndicate. I know you guys have been ramping up your content for that. How's that been going over there?
Good. People are signing up. So we've been, I haven't been around this morning, but I think he just dropped another video, him and Adam, about, he recorded, I haven't seen it, but this was the premise he told me he was doing. He recorded what he did live, like his fantasy cruncher, all his settings, oh, wow, everything while he was playing. And then he, the next day, went back and narrated over it, all his thoughts.
That's cool.
Yeah. So just awesome. Like, you know, like the old poker videos, like, yeah, this is what I'm thinking in this hand, that type of thing. Except DFS, I think it's more valuable, honestly. So that's just part of it. You know, obviously I don't do that stuff. My stuff's more like spreadsheets and nerd stuff. And Nerdy Tenor does a whole game theory series, you know, beating like more and more complicated games. Like first one was like a jelly bean game, you know, like guessing, you know, how you should, like, if you went in the mall and they were saying how many, you know, what jelly beans you should take, like there's actual strategies you can use to beat those games. And then now he's got like a simplified DFS game, you know, with like no salary cap, but you could pick, you know, however many, 6 players per team. And the player pool is, let's say, 20 players with varying projections. What's the balanced equilibrium strategy there? And then we have, you know, Q&As and roundtables and stuff for people that have questions on the videos. It is more advanced, right? If you don't know what stacking is and correlation and stuff, you probably want to check all that stuff out first before spending money on ours, honestly. And then in Discord, you know, like there's been some good talk, and Shady's been very generous with people, you know, pointing in the direction of like academic papers and stuff that could be useful. So it's been fun.
That's nice awesome.
To meet people with trying to learn to fish rather than being asked for fish is how I describe it. So if you like chatting with people who like thinking about things holistically rather than peppering or asking about picks and specific slate questions, I've enjoyed a lot. Even though Utica is dropping random home run picks out there out of left field, and sometimes they go off, which has been fun too.
Yeah, those are all bonuses. Like, so there is ownership and stuff occasionally, and picks and stuff like that's just, that's not part of the package. That's just in the Discord.
new Photoshop just dropped. Compliments of Dan in the Discord. For the audio listeners, we got the flexing handshake meme with Negreanu.
Not what I meant.
Rick Morey.
Yeah, I think I did not explain that fully. That was, I deserve it.
There you go. This is what you get for, you know, turning your nose up at our buffet and art house analogies. You get that. Shady, anything else? I know you guys did a video for people who kind of want to see the sidekick in action. Anything else you want people to check out?
No, I'm sure you're always welcome to join legendaryupside.com, both for the sidekick or just for the rankings. The rankings will get you in Discord, and happy to talk about what the sidekick might do there.
Awesome. Brian, anything else for you other than people checking out in-game syndicate?
Draft Caddy update too, Pete. We stole the code from the sidekick and now it's identical. No, what we're trying to make it like less scrolly, like so, like for the guide me and then automatic suggest a player, just like it'll just like a little graphic, you know, nothing intrusive, and some like small bug fixes. But I don't know if people have noticed too, Pete. In the last update, there's like a correlation counter and a bye week counter on the overlay, yeah, that people seem to like. And you could also overlay the week 15, 16, 17 on the drafted player side now too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing Neil's show tonight.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
so, I've been using both of these in tandem, on the Mozilla. They both work, there.
Okay.
Very nicely.
If they break, contact me or Shady. Yeah. And we'll try to fix it.
Yeah, trying to play nice.
It really is nice having both, because I still love being able to see all of the matchups. Then you can do the toggle. Brian, I like the ad for the matchups listed on the players you've already drafted. And then, of course, you got your sidekick here as well. So if you're doing any volume of slow drafts, two great tastes that go great together. The draft
should also mention that we are on the roadmap. We're not going to give a timeline, but we're working on ADP as the input, rather than leg up rankings, as well as the ability to upload your own ranks for the sidekick. And then obviously I mentioned trying to work with DraftKings to figure out how they want it to work on their site. Yeah. So if that's what's holding you back, we'll let you know when.
All right, guys, thanks for hanging out today. I'm going to do ship chasing here in 15 minutes. If you want to watch us just raw dog it, no tools, just straight from the dome, just the right picks right from the fucking gut, like it was meant to be played. Otherwise, delayed randomizer until tomorrow night. Figured I didn't want to compete with old Donnie and Biden going at it. So that will be tomorrow. Otherwise, we will see you guys next time here on Lulz. Thanks again to Shady. For Brick, I'm Pete. Peace.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.